There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. And we talked about the weekend ahead. A lot of different activities happening. But mention South Sound's Music Festival. And we're going to talk about that in depth because pretty cool. It is cranked up as of today, going through the weekend. And your chance to see some pretty big name artists that you've heard of. Probably even traveled to the west of New Orleans to see. Maybe some you haven't heard of. At the same time, do it right here in your hometown. And Ted Flott from South Sound's Music Festival joining us in studio to talk about it. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, let's. How many years is this for South Sounds?
This is 9. The first year it was called Load Alive, and then we changed the name the next year. So, but total of 9.
What I think is cool about the event is it's not like, hey, here's this venue, and we're putting everybody at this venue, and it's all happening at one time. Y'all spread this out through downtown.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing is, it's different than most festivals, hangout festival or jazz
right.
fest or something.
It's not like you walk through a gate and then you're in there.
Right. In a couple different ways. I mean, number one, we only have artists from the South, which is what we define as any state with an SEC team.
Good.
And so, you know, back in like 2011 with bands like Alabama Shakes and Jason Isbell from Alabama, they were coming up and
they've done all right, by the way.
Yeah.
The Isbell kid, he's done all right for himself.
They're pretty good. So, but we were thinking like, you know, why is there not a Southern music festival? I mean, when you go to a music festival, you'll have a couple of these, mostly down the lineup somewhere, and 95% of it's from other places, and they never, you know, they don't come back, you know, again, sometimes ever. So it's kind of unbelievable. There's no such thing as a Southern music festival. So, we talked to the Downtown Alliance and some partners and. They made it happen, and so we think we're the first and only Southern music festival in the United States, and so we've had people drive from like Oregon, and we get written up in papers.
Or they drive across the country.
Yep.
How cool is that?
Well, it's kind of a niche thing, you know, but it does work a little bit differently, and that's why, you know, some people, I mean, we have a kind of a core of dedicated people that come every year, but there's a lot of people, it's a little bit different from, like I say, you know, Hangout or Bay Fest.
Let's explain that. I do want to circle back to the southern part of it, because it seems so strange to me that there wouldn't be so many genres of our music come from the South that are, you know, considered American music, but they're from the South, but we don't have the official Southern Music Festival until South Sounds. But this is different because, like you said, it's not behind one, you don't go past one gate and get in. You do it at a lot of different venues downtown.
Yeah, you know, so when we started it, it was pretty obvious at that point that, you know, you weren't going to get a big check from the city anymore, which is,
right.
It's good, you know, in a lot of ways, I think, you know, I would agree there.
Yep.
How do we do this? Well, we've got these great venues. They have stages. They have great sound systems. They have indoor restrooms. If it rains, you don't get rained out. And we were the first ones to do it. There's, you know, at that point, there's a couple. I mean, South by Southwest was the big one that's gotten, you know, it's gotten way too big and so forth. But there's kind of that model where you just have the shows and the venues, and it also splits it up. So if you want to see, country. I mean, they mix up a little bit, but there's kind of a more of a country venue one night, or a rock, or a, you know, golf, you know, Mardi Gras music, or mm-hmm. what have you. So you just kind of have to know a little bit what venue to do you want to go in, because yeah, they're not all right together.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, just thinking specifically the last one you said and what I texted you about the other day. So George Porter Jr. playing, but before him this band
Chawa.
I mean, so you could just stay there, see both.
Yeah, so those are at O'Daly's, which works together with Cedar Street, which is owned by Jake Peavy and his partners, and you know they've taken a large role in downtown, and they're taking a large role in the festival this year. And so tonight they have Yellowhammer, which is Ben Jernigan's band, playing with Robert Randolph, who hopefully.
And he is. If y'all think you've seen steel guitar played before, holy cow!
Yeah, he's. I mean, you've heard him on the radio, on other stations, music stations. But so they're playing tonight, and that'll be a good show. And then, if you've never been to Cedar Street Social Club, which is their club, it's new, probably less than 2 years old, and there's not a sign on it. It's kind of a speakeasy thing, mm-hmm. but it's a great club that the PV and his partners built, and so you know it's worth checking out by itself. That's right off Dolphin Street, but they're playing tonight, and then tomorrow at O'Daly's, which is just across the block from them, they'll have the kind of a New Orleans thing with Chawa, which is this Mardi Gras Indian band.
I'm so excited about that.
And then George Porter Jr., who played with the Meters, which was kind of precursor to the Neville Brothers, that Cam Marston did a great interview with him the other day.
Yeah.
And then Anders Osborne, who's played New Orleans for quite a while. He's got kind of a new Bakersfield sound. And so
Anders Osborne, decades of music.
Yeah, and he's constantly kind of changing his sound, but it's kind of a neat, like I said, Bakersfield sound type, clean country rock type thing. So that'll be interesting to hear. But then, obviously, so that's a kind of a great general interest thing. And then they have the Red Clay Strays on Sunday, which is one of our local country bands.
Those boys are all right.
They picked up a Nashville booking agent.
Did they really?
Yeah. And so, I mean, they've taken off locally. I mean, they'll play everywhere. They'll pack out Floribama to mm-hmm. Callahan, so everywhere. And then we're one of the first that bring them to Mobile with a Lanyap showcase where young bands just apply online. They were like this young band of Citronelle, no one heard. They applied online. We're like, boys are pretty good.
Kids are good.
So we put them in the Lanyap Showcase, and I mean, we're not going to, but they played around from there, but it's just been great to see them take off. So they're hopefully start playing around Nashville now.
If y'all want to check this out too, as we're talking about it, southsoundsfest.com, the website. You can go to the artist lineup page here and look at the different venues. And what about that? Ted, are we buying a pass for all the places? Do we buy individual passes for that event that night? How do we do it?
Yeah, so you can just walk up to the door. So if you want to see again Robert Randolph tonight, or you want to see the New Orleans Legends tomorrow, or just the Red Clay Strays, you just walk up to the door, and some of them are free. Callahan's is declared they're going to be free in honor of their Southern Favorite Bar award or poll. So, and then some others that are free, Hank Blue, and then they range from $5 to $15 advance or $20 at the door. So, very inexpensive. And then some of them do have weekend passes for $30. So you can see all three of those shows we just talked about. And I should also mention there's a couple others. Mary Widow has the Rebirth Brass Band, another New Orleans legend tonight. And then the Listening Room has more of a more country singer-songwriter stuff. And if you've never checked out the Listening Room, the owner there, Jim Pennington, does a great job of booking these kind of singer-songwriter acts. So if you're interested in a little more quiet, you should really go check it out. And that's part of the deal, too, is to get people to go to these venues they might have never gone before, since they're just going to stage and they,
Well, and there's something to be said for that, because if there's a place that's just not habitual for me to go to, and not many are, as a dad of two young ones, so not like in the old days, so I don't go to as many places, but if I want to go see this artist, well, then guess what? I'm going to that place.
Yeah, and you'll find out, it's really, you might like it, and keep going there. That's the goal.
Big time. And what about like for daytime events and kid-friendly events?
Yeah, so the Mobile Arts Council has an art market in Cathedral Square, and we have the Lanyap Showcase, which again, these bands that applied online, and that's what I love. But you know, if you love that sort of thing, but not the bigger bands, but that's more just bring the kids out, play in the park.
This gets cranked up. So tonight we got these shows. When does the event in the park start up?
Yeah, it's 6 with Art Walk.
Okay,
and again, we have one of the kind of. The funky type bands that play at Cazula's, on stage tonight there, just a fun band. But then all the venues start up just a little bit after that, like 8 o'clock.
Good deal. All right, yeah, because I love the Saturday lineup, the New Orleans lineup, because it starts at 6, which is good for a guy like me that can't stay up to the wee hours.
Yeah, and again, I mean, actually, yeah, that show starts at 4:30 and ends at, I think it's 10:30.
I mean, this dad hours. I like this. I like this. All right.
Yeah, and the good thing, again, is like we can move that just down the street into a venue. You know, any of the stages we can move into a venue easily. So we're not going to say the R word, but...
Yes. And it looks like that's not till Saturday night.
The show will go on.
Very good. Once again, southsounds.com?
Southsoundsfest.com.
Tickets can be bought through...
At the venue doors, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Ted, as always, man, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
We'll see you down there. I'll see you down there tonight and tomorrow night, too, to see these kids. They're pretty awesome, too. All right. Coming right back, 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig as we roll through a Friday edition of Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Friday. It's also the time of the week when we break out the best part of the week with 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. On time and everything.
Yeah, in tune. They sound great.
Pretty good. They're probably, I don't know if the FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile Review Band will be playing at South Sounds. We'll see if we can get them in next year as they do it, but it is time for 6.5 Stories.
Yeah, it is, and you can say what you want to about that band. They might not be consistently on time, but they are consistent as far as the tunes go.
That's right.
Sound the exact same every time.
Every time. Like they just got one song.
Well, I got some great 6.5 stories for you this week. And, the Florida Man thing, it might have jumped the shark by now.
And explain that, too, real fast. I mean, this is because you and I worry about this, that Florida Man, because we've been talking Florida Man for a while now, and we worry that too many people are also talking about Florida Man and, like, it's diminishing the value of the Florida Man stories.
Yeah, I mean, there are just so many stories that come out of Florida that are completely off the wall, and we've been on them for about 2.5 years
That'd
now.
That'd be correct.
At least. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the rest of the world caught up over the last, I don't know, what do you think, 2 months?
Yeah, pretty
three
much.
Months?
Yes.
So I haven't been actively searching for Florida stories.
But sometimes they find you, Dalton.
But when I'm looking for interesting stories, they pop out. And so I got two Florida stories.
Okay.
One is a Florida Man story. But I'll lead off with the one that is not a Florida Man story. And this, I'm going to read this basically all the way through because it's like a blockbuster movie. Whoever wrote this does a great job with it. I don't know if we can still call them blockbuster movies since, what, is there one blockbuster left in the nation?
Wait, no, but they were, blockbuster was a term before it was a video store, before Wayne Huizenga bought that thing up. So blockbuster was a movie so big, people would be lined up around the block to see it.
Okay.
Well, and then it turned into the video store.
This could be a the next Fast and Furious. All
okay.
Right. This is from Tampa, Florida, WFTS, and actually Wesley Chapel, but the TV station's in Tampa, and okay. Wesley Chapel's just north of Tampa. But this happened April the 10th, so that would have been Wednesday. About 11:15 a.m., a Florida Highway Patrol trooper was dispatched to a suspicious person's call at a northbound I-75 rest area. A trooper arrived on the scene, and that's where she found three females completely naked.
Naked or naked?
Naked. Completely naked.
Well, you've got my attention now on the story.
The women told the trooper that they had just showered. I don't know if they were at the rest
They got them some fancy rest stops.
And they were nude because they were, quote, air drying. the trooper was trying to get their information.
They're like there where all the brochures are and stuff at the rest stop.
The free coffee, yeah. All of it, yeah. The trooper was trying to get their information, which is more difficult when they're not wearing clothes because there's nowhere to, well, they I guess they could have their ID. But the three women ran and got into a white 2009 Nissan Sentra and traveled southbound into the northbound rest area entrance. So it's looking bad. Look like they're going to go the wrong way down the interstate.
They're running from law enforcement.
That's correct. Still nude.
Cloth or leather seats.
no talk. I don't know anyone who has an 09 Sentra. Let me know. But they were they turned around. Trooper initiated a pursuit, but that pursuit was canceled because it didn't fit their criteria. Something okay. We've been talking about a lot around here lately.
Yep.
But then a citizen called Star 347, I guess that's what you call in Florida.
When you see naked people?
When you see naked people, or just to report a reckless vehicle, which is what this citizen did, and stayed on the phone to provide location updates. That's when another trooper spotted the car, which was again briefly driving in the wrong direction. So the trooper initiated a pursuit and deployed Star Chase projectiles. I guess this is like GPS tracking.
Okay.
Shot it into the car. Told you, sounds like a movie. That allowed the troopers to back off during this dangerous pursuit, but still track.
Just like a homing thing, device that's shot into the car?
I guess. Okay. They call it Star Chase Projectiles, which the new Star Wars trailer just dropped. So it sounds like something that would be in that.
And their album's sitting on iTunes today.
That's right. So dispatch tracked the car, and they pulled into a convenience store parking lot where troopers then found the car empty. The ladies had went into the store. They left the Sentra still naked, went into the store.
Because they'll hide. Nobody will see them in there. They'll blend in.
Yeah, exactly. Then they exited the store, got back into the car. That's when a trooper tried to take one of the women into custody. And while he was trying to arrest that woman, the driver of the car purposefully drove directly at the trooper who had to jump. I think he had to tuck and roll to get away from the car. And then the other woman who wasn't Holy driving hell. And wasn't being arrested exited the car with a metal bat in an effort to hit the trooper. Another trooper witnessed this attempt and rammed the suspect's car with his patrol vehicle. And then the women, I guess, all got back into the car and drove away again. So two more troopers were in pursuit of the car. They finally deployed stop sticks, which deflated the right side tires. So what is that, just tire deflators they throw out there on the...
Yeah.
Okay. And they finally got the tires flat, and one of the troopers was authorized to pit the car due to the aggravated assault charges. The chase ended there at State Road 52 in Dade City. And then the trooper had to break out the vehicle windows because they refused to get out and resisted arrest. They were interlocking their arms together in the car, still naked, when the trooper broke the windows. And then all three women got tasered and were taken into custody.
This may... No, not May. I'm not going to leave May out of it. That may... That is the best Florida man-woman story you've ever had. Let me just... I was just going to go right here and say... That is unreal.
Yeah, two thumbs up, five stars.
Holy cow.
It was an 18-year-old and two 19-year-olds.
What? Okay, so by next week, can you give us the rest of that story when they have their arraignment and all that, whatever?
We'll have to update it. They were all charged fleeing to elude, resisting arrest, aggravated assault, and, of course, what it all started with, lewd acts.
Lewd acts, naked in public.
Lewd acts, my favorite of the charges.
Right, yeah, me too.
So moving into the next story, Florida man... which is Florida story number two.
Mm-hmm.
Florida man arrested Sunday after causing a disturbance at an Olive Garden in Naples, Florida, where cops found the suspect sitting outside of the Olive Garden shirtless and shoveling spaghetti into his mouth using his hands, his bare hands. I guess he got an order to go. Prior to the arrest, the man had allegedly been harassing patrons both inside and out in front of the restaurant, asking people for money and shouting profanities. Not a good way to make friends, asking for money and shouting profanities.
Shirtless, covered in spaghetti, and shouting profanities, okay?
Police received a report that the man, who's 32-year-old Ben Padgett, entered the restaurant, threatened to kick the ass of an employee, and also asked about the employee's genitals. Hey, this is in the story right here. Olive Garden employee then stated that after Padgett went outside and sat down on the bench and began eating the food with his bare hands, the employee locked the front door to prevent him from coming back in.
Sure.
But police, still nice, no matter the cause. Before he was placed in handcuffs, they assisted him by wiping the spaghetti off of his face.
That's good.
They said he was intoxicated.
You don't say.
And muttering obscenities the whole time. They did have to take him to the hospital before jail, though, for bashing his head into the cop car's partition. So this guy had it all going for him.
Not real surprised he did the old bash the head in. Yeah. He was upset that his date, the three girls who were going to come by and see him, didn't show up on time.
He heard that they were running late. He was released on $2,000 bond and forfeited his right to unlimited breadsticks. So there's that, too.
That guy is. What do you do when you walk by that guy? When you have that situation, do you engage that person? Yeah, that's most of us Americans. That's why we're like this today.
How about that ravioli? Huh?
Yeah, you look at you just like pretty kids. Good. Come here. We're in a parking lot. Hold my hand. Walk quickly.
Yeah, but
come on, kids.
But he's eating spaghetti with his. You told me I couldn't eat spaghetti with my bare hands. Look at him.
Shouting profanities and eating spaghetti. Come on, kids.
So a wild week in Florida, and I think I can get one more in real quick here before the
sure.
end. So we go to Oklahoma now.
Okay.
We move into the Walmart portion of stories of 6.5 stories.
Okay.
Oklahoma City Walmart, 24-year-old Benjamin Stallings Love tried to steal a knife, a propane tank regulator, a propane tank, and a pack of Hanes t-shirts. How did he try to get away with this?
Do tell.
He tried to hide the small propane tank down his pants. Tried to
how
get
small
away with
of a
it.
Propane tank?
I don't know. Maybe a 6 ounce. I don't know how small they sell them. The Oklahoma City Police Department said the officer was checking the suspect to see if he had any warrants. Checking the name that was given to them turned out to be a false name. You don't say.
Yeah.
As the officer is ascertaining this information, the suspect actually opened the door and was able to get out of the loss prevention office and tried to run through the parking lot. The officers did catch up to the suspect, and he was booked into the Oklahoma County Jail. I think I don't know who the unfortunate soul was that had to take the propane tank out of his pants, but he didn't make it away.
So propane tank did not small one.
Just the small one, not
probably the little ones that go on the little Coleman, the little green ones.
Yeah, probably one of those. Not one of them you can use the whole summer.
Yeah, not the one you have to go exchange in the cage box at the front of the store.
That guy's got a massive hernia. He's got a problem.
Yeah, dude's got a lot of pants going on right there. All right, head to the news and Dr. Bill's forecast, and then we're back to more 6.5 stories. Although I don't know where we will go from here, but we're gonna try it next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 134, FM Talk 106.5. And we'll get right back into 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig. But a heads up here. Saw this stat from the folks over at Harry's. Guys, we spend about 3,000 of our hour, 3,000 hours of our lifetime shaving. It's like four months of your life overpaying for poor-performing razors. You could invest that time with Harry's, have quality shaving supplies at a fair price. And the quality is the key. I told you, I've been shaving for years and years and years with Harry's. I tell you, the first thing that makes this all great is the shave is great, the blades are great. Everything else is really cool, but you got to have good blades, and they do. And you'll also enjoy paying half of what you're paying right now at the pharmacy or the grocery store for replacement blades. And how about the convenience of having those blades show up every month at your house? You don't have to remember to go get them. It's 9:30 on a Sunday night, and you don't have a fresh blade? No, you do with Harry's. Hey, join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. Right now, you'll get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and their travel cover for just $3 plus free shipping. Now, this is the best offer I have ever seen. You just got to use the code MOBILE at harrys.com. Now, this is for new customers. So, like somebody like me, I don't get it. But if you're brand new, been wondering about doing this, now is the time to move. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all just $3 plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today and join the 10 million of us who are shaving with Harry's. Use code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer. Let them know I sent you. Help support Midday Mobile. And y'all see what I'm talking about. You'll be like, yeah, Sullivan, you're right. It's pretty darn cool. Check it out. Harrys.com. Make sure you use code MOBILE. All right. We return to 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig. So where are we on the list now?
Story number four here. We had two Florida stories, including, I guess, one of your favorite 6.5s ever with the Florida.
That right now is probably my favorite ever, yes.
We also had a Walmart thief in Oklahoma City and another Walmart thief here for story number four, this time in my home state of Tennessee, where some crazy stuff goes down.
It's no Florida, but yeah.
It's no Florida. But this was 45-year-old Sally Selby. arrested on theft charges from Walmart.
So,
and this is actually even better. It combines Walmart and Waffle House. So you know it's going to be a good
one. Now we're talking about my kinfolk. Okay, go ahead.
She was arrested a week ago today, spotted on surveillance video, entering a Walmart about 4:15 a.m., like normal people do.
Sure, sure.
She got into an electric scooter and rode it around the store as she shopped.
Okay, you've now hooked me.
Okay, she drove the scooter out of the store about a half hour later, appeared to do a test run around the parking lot before riding it on Highway 127.
She wanted to see how it handles.
That's right. She wanted to see how much juice it had in it. Cops caught up with Selby around 5 a.m. after receiving reports of a woman driving the scooter in the highway's slow lane. So not in violation of Alabama's road rage bill right now. She's in the slow lane. They did arrest her, I guess, in the slow lane, pulled over on the right side of the road.
So let me just jump to, what was the blood alcohol level?
No word on her actual BAC right here.
Okay.
But she did give the reason that she was on the scooter, and maybe it was because of a high blood alcohol content, driving to Waffle House to get a cup of coffee.
So she was shopping at Walmart.
Right.
She's on the motorized scooter, and she says, you know, I need a cup of Joe.
I need to wake up a little bit.
I'm going to ride down to Waffle House, get me some, come back.
5 a.m., scooter was eventually returned to Walmart, if you were worried about the fate of the scooter.
I'm worried about the fate of the scooter every time I see... Okay. Go ahead. I'm not going to say anything. Yeah, I'm saying
nothing
else.
Before you get any letters or voicemails, we'll move to story number 5, where we go to Oregon.
Okay.
Beaverton, Oregon.
Okay.
A man arrested Tuesday after he was found with heroin, methamphetamine, you got to balance it out, cash, and a notebook with his drug-dealing business plan.
That's like a junky Swiss Army knife. Okay.
All written down. 31-year-old Eric Mazeko labeled 2.5 pages in his notebook as his business plan, and aimed to obtain around $1,200 to fund it. He identified his number one way to get money, and I don't know if you can hear this on the Dave Ramsey Show or any business podcasts. Number one way to get money for his drug dealing, sell drugs.
He wrote that down.
He wrote this down.
There he goes.
Number two on the list,
sell drugs.
Steal items from stores and sell them. And number three on the list, a little bit more dangerous, rob other drug dealers.
So he annotated these in his notebook. He said, here's how I'm going to do it. Here's my plan. Here's what what's your plan? Well, let me show you. Here's my business plan.
Yeah,
I worked it up.
Stop number one. Deal some drugs.
Deal some drugs.
Steal things,
items, and then rob other
drug dealers.
Trifecta.
It's easy. 1, 2, 3. He was the passenger in a black Mercedes-Benz CLK 350. Didn't have license plates.
No, why would
That's
you?
Why police pulled him over. That's probably step one. He needs to rework that list. Step one, get some license plates.
Then sell drugs.
The driver was detained, but Mazeko, he was in the passenger seat. He took his belongings and got out of the car, just walked away. They said they let him leave because they didn't have probable cause at the time.
Until they saw the notebook.
Until they saw that. The police dog searched the car, found meth and heroin under the seat. The driver said, I don't know. Those aren't my drugs.
Yeah.
So they found Mazeko several blocks away and took him into custody, where they found more meth, heroin, cash, a scale, syringes, a replica handgun, a knife, and the business plan notebook.
Was he wearing cargo pants? Where did he keep all?
I don't know. He was wearing maybe the pants that guy tried to get away with the propane tank from Walmart.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, there he is. But at least he had a plan.
He had a business plan, and now he can teach a lot of other prisoners. All right. You know, people could be evil, Sean.
Yeah.
This is the tragic story of Princess the 400-pound pig.
Oh, no.
From Northern California. Princess went missing from her Humboldt County home on March 23rd, later spotted in a neighbor's yard. That was from a post published on a Facebook page for lost and found animals. Mm-hmm. Easy to find a 400-pound pig. After the wandering pig was found, the police department arrived on the scene to help Princess get home. Police asked a nearby neighbor if he could keep Princess in his gated yard while they located her owner.
Mm-hmm.
The neighbor agreed, and the police quickly found Princess's people. But when police returned to pick up Princess, they found that she was in the process of being butchered in the driveway for meat.
Oh!
Yeah, Princess was no longer living. The homeowner who had agreed to watch Princess was actually not the man responsible for killing her. Another man who was at his residence at the time took it upon himself to kill Princess without the homeowner's knowledge, then moved Princess to the driveway to butcher her. Police said the entire incident occurred in the span of about 2 hours. So within 2 hours of Princess being dropped off for safekeeping, she had become bacon.
I'm a guy that has killed and butchered more than one hog in my life. But if I walked out of your house, if I'm over there hanging out with you, and I walk out of your house and I see a pig there, I don't go, you know what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to kill this pig. I'm going to get a gambrel and hang it up, and we're going to start dressing it up. Like, who does that?
Just very hungry man. A very, very hungry man. Carrie Hogan, she was Princess's owner. She said she had Princess since she was a piglet and bottle fed her in the living room. So sad.
Oh, man, that's sad.
It really is. It is. But I guess, you know, some people can't resist.
Some people must resist.
They should. The man was charged with a felony for grand theft, but the investigation's still ongoing.
This is a story. Okay, I'm going to need an update on that one.
Shouldn't take long to shut this one down. Crazy. We do need to update that story. Yes. America's Most Wanted. All right, wrapping it up. 6.5, that's where I give you half the story and you fill in the rest. Mm-hmm. We got an open-ended question this time.
Uh-oh.
Study by GasBuddy.com. They found the best day of the week to buy gas when you can get the lowest price. So what is the best day of the week to go out and get your gas, and what is the worst day if you're planning to fill up your tank?
Okay. Can I have the Jeopardy theme dress?
I should have given you which Jeopardy guy you were talking about the other day, the sports bettor.
Yeah.
He's won again 5 days in a row, missed his first final Jeopardy answer, but still walked away, I think, with $27,000 yesterday.
Wait, so this is the guy that the other day we talked about. Not only did he win a bunch, he won the exact amount that translated his daughter's birthday.
His daughter's birthday, that's right. I think Holdsclaw or something is his last name, but he's already number 4 on the all time Jeopardy winnings list.
So no Jeopardy. So my question was again.
What is the best day to buy gas for the lowest price, and what is the worst day to go out and buy gas?
Okay, so I'm gonna guess this. I'm not gonna look at the text line.
You'll probably know.
Phone a friend. I would say the best day to buy gas is Friday.
And the worst day?
Monday.
You've actually got it completely backwards. Best time to fill up on average is Monday morning, while the worst day to buy gas is on Fridays. They say it's all about good old-fashioned supply and demand.
Okay.
The Gas Buddy head of petroleum analysis. Fun gig right
those
there.
Those dudes party.
He said very early in the week when gas stations are generally a little bit quieter traffic-wise, it's a great time to fill up. We generally see more volatility and higher prices later in the week. And with Monday being the best day to buy gas in 29 states, Tuesday is the best in 19 states. If you're in Hawaii, Wednesday the best day to buy gas. And if you're in Utah,
why?
Sunday.
Why Wednesday? In Hawaii, it's never a good time to buy gas in Hawaii. We bought it. We're on vacation. It's like, take whatever you're paying stateside and double it.
I don't know. I've never been to Hawaii. But Alabama does fit in that group of Monday being the best day to buy gas. And this was great for me to read today because Friday. Guess what I got to do today?
Yeah, get gas.
Fill up.
Well, just, you know, you don't have to. You can do that. Hey, I walk in and do the like crinkled up money in your pocket. So I'll get $3.34 worth of unleaded, please.
I need 3/4 of a gallon.
Right. That's just to get me through to Monday.
They said if you fill up on the best day to buy gas, which would be Monday here in Alabama, you'll save a whole $20 to $30 a year. So that's a tank of gas.
Yeah, that's good. So you add in an extra. I wonder, too, speaking of that, like the residual in the. So you pump the gas, right? Say you go in, you prepay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you pump the gas and it pumps up. And then there's that little bit, like if you'll sit there, once the gas pump cuts off, there's still a little bit left in the handle there.
Yeah, the drip.
So I obsess about that. And
I do too.
I've told the missus, I said, over a lifetime, I'm going to have a tank's worth of gas out of this.
Do you do what my buddy did? And he would take the hose,
lift the hose
and
up.
Lift it all the way up.
Yeah.
See, I shake it a few times, tap it on there. Yeah. And then I still always get a drop or two on the paint.
Every time. No matter how much you shake it, you get a drop or two.
Yeah. I got a lot of baby bibs around the house now, though. So maybe I'll start putting that under the gas tank.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, 6.5 stories. With Dalton Orwig, I think we all learned a lot of valuable lessons on this week's show. And what day of the week is best to slaughter a pig if I find it in the neighborhood? Is there a day that's better than another for me to...
It says here Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday is the best day to get that done.
All right. Good deal. Thank you, man.
No problem.
All right. Coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile. And remember, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. You can also check us out on facebook.com/fmtalk1065 and at fmtalk1065 on Twitter.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along and good to have a friend of mine, a guy I've known for a long, long time, and he still comes and talks to me, Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino Attorneys. And thanks for being here. Thanks for being on the air with me.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate it. Yeah, we go way back. Kind of good to see us both a little bit grown up. I don't know if we act that way or what.
Well, I think you live up in a grown-up world, and as a Marine, you had a lot of growing up there that I didn't have, so hats off to you, and thank you for your service.
Well, you knew me and my pre-Marine self and post-Marine right. self, so there are no skeletons that are hiding in the closet from you, so I appreciate you having me here.
And I want to talk to you about that. I also want to talk about what you're doing with Taylor Martino and talking to folks here, my listeners at FM Talk 106.5, that have an issue, have a need for legal representation. But I got to say this. We're talking before we went on here. And, you know, people have a feeling that, oh, gosh, there's so many lawsuits out there. There's so many frivolous lawsuits out there. I don't want to go. I don't want to be associated with that, Ed.
I hear you. I understand that. I mean, with today's society, with all the advertising that you're just pounded with, if I ever do watch midday news or the yes. early morning news, it's just incredible the amount of attorney advertising out there. And, you know, I am a plaintiff's lawyer. That's what I do. I represent people that are hurt. You know, I grew up here in Mobile. And, I'm a conservative person, but, you know, so I completely understand how those views are taken by many people, because I feel the same way, really.
Okay, and so you and I were talking about this. If you go, gosh, I don't want to be lumped in with that. Well, neither do y'all at Taylor Martino. Y'all aren't lumped in with that either.
We're a different type of firm. I mean, we don't handle a huge volume of cases. We don't try to handle a huge volume of cases. We do represent, you know, businesses as well as individuals, you know, with any type of need that they have. We don't go seeking to file a lawsuit. We just seek to fix problems. And so we are a little bit different than most.
You know, and seeking to fix problems, if we think about this, all of us have our own issues, but there's some commonalities out there I'm sure you hear a lot about. And you and I were talking, you made an analogy one time that really struck me. And we were talking about insurance. And talking about insurance and getting what you pay for. And you said, hey, Sullivan, you don't ever blink when you go in and make a file against your health insurance. You've paid for it, so you're going to use it. And I said, yeah. And you said, then why do you have a feeling like that about your automotive insurance?
Exactly. So I meet with people all the time, and I really like meeting with people that are hesitant to even bring a claim. They come in, they say, hey, I really don't feel right about this. I'm not sure if I should do this or not. And so I tell them, well, hey, do you have health insurance? Yeah. Do you pay for that health insurance? Oh, yeah, I pay out the nose for that health insurance.
Guaranteed. I'm like,
do you ever walk into your doctor's office or the hospital and you need treatment? You say, hey, I'm just going to save, you know, XYZ health insurance company, let me pay this out of my pocket. No, you don't ever do that. And
right.
It's the same. So if it's your own insurance in an auto case, like let's say you're hit by an uninsured motorist, and so you've got to make a claim on your own insurance coverage, well, you've paid for that. And most people that I represent have paid for it for years and years and years. They've never made a claim. And that's what they've been paying for years. So what's wrong? What's un-American about if you pay for something, then get it?
Because people make the claim. Okay, well, I was hit by the uninsured motorist or something like this happened. I made the claim, and now, Ed, they didn't call me back, or they called me back. They keep switching people on me. They said, well, it's not the amount that I thought it was going to be, and they said it was total replacement, but it's not. Those kind of things, those wear people out when they're busy doing whatever they do for a living.
Right. I don't have a problem with the insurance industry. I mean, I've got health insurance. I've got life insurance. I mean, I've got insurance coming out of my ears as well, so I'm not anti-insurance whatsoever. But it is a business, and the only way an insurance company really makes money is if they don't pay as much as they make in, you know, they take in. So they're an American company as well, so they're motivated solely to not pay claims, and
right.
that's how they make money. So,
but I have been paying in premiums for decades.
Absolutely, absolutely.
They took those.
Yes, yes. You would think that you could say, okay, hey, if you're not going to pay my claim, why don't you refund the premiums for the past 20 years?
Right.
That doesn't ever happen.
Right. You can't say, okay, I'll tell you what, we'll make a swap here. Just give me my money back and I'll pay for it. So, I mean, people find themselves in that situation, and that's the time that if you're not getting what you have paid for, you shouldn't feel bad about getting it.
Right. I mean, I think it is. It's very American to be able to come to see me, a lawyer, and say, "Hey, I'm not getting treated fairly. What can you do about it?" And I say, "Well, let's sit down. Let's talk about it. Let's figure this out." And so that's all we do is we try to figure out the problem. We deal with the insurance companies and whoever the at fault party is, and take that burden off your shoulders. Because you know when you're hurt, when you're losing wages, when you're not able to do the things that you can do, you're stressed out. Okay, and you're stressed out in this country. In this life, no matter what you're doing, I mean, just walking around, right, it's stressful. Right. Like I walked in your office today. I, how you doing? I said, I got stuff coming out of my ears. Yeah. I mean, I've just got too much to do. So that you add that on top of it, the stress of being hurt, of walking with a limp, or you know, your house might get taken because you can't afford to pay your mortgage.
Yeah.
That's just, and then you add the stress of, well, this insurance adjuster is jerking me around, or I'm getting the runaround, that sort of thing. It's just incredible. So you know, what we can do is just take at least one of those stresses away, and then also make sure you're treated fairly, because that's all we want. Just treat people fairly.
Yeah, you're a voice for us. And obviously, like you said, you know this, and you do this because I know that I don't know this. I know my business, but I don't know, you know, I don't know how you deal with a problem like this. So, and by the way, you're just joining us, talking to my friend Ed Brown with Taylor Martino online. Was it TaylorMartino.com or?
TaylorMartino.com. That's right. We've got a website.
Okay. Go there or pick up the phone. I mean, like, if we're going to make, let's say we're talking to somebody right now and says, it's like Ed knows exactly what's happening with me. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can Google Ed Rowan Attorney. You can Google Richard Taylor, Steve Martino. Those are my two partners. We've got seven lawyers there. You can just Google TaylorMartino.com and you'll find us. I mean, we've got a good presence on the web there. So that's usually what people do now, is just Google it.
Yeah, Google it and set up an appointment. It's one of these things. You just said we can just kind of come in and tell you the story.
Absolutely. There's no strings attached ever. Okay. And we don't charge for consultations and things like that. You call us or you just show up, you come on in and you have an issue. But a lot of times, you know, I just got back from Atlanta. I was there on business for 3 days. I got to go to Birmingham for 2 days next week. So it does help sometimes to make sure someone's there just to give us a quick call.
Sure.
And, you know, first of all, we're just glad to talk to you and see how we can help you initially. And we can just give you information. Hey, if people call me and say, hey, I just want some information, I'll say, okay, do X, Y, and Z. And if you want to handle it on your own, that's fine. Then they may call me back and say, well, I did X, Y, and Z, and I'm still getting jerked around, and you're a really nice guy, so I'd like to come see you. And I say, all right, well, come on and see me.
So you're going to give us, I like that. So you're going to say, try this first.
Absolutely.
Try this first. Let's see if we can do it this other way.
Yes. Yeah. I'll give them my format of how to, you know, settle a claim or how to handle a claim. And one of the things is I just don't want to get people taking advantage of it. You know, I've got plenty of work to do. Certainly I want new business, but I don't want somebody getting taken advantage of. And so, you know, if they need to do X, Y, and Z, a couple different steps to make sure their claim is protected, if they can handle it on their own, hey, that's great. Go ahead and do it. And if not, then I'm there to help.
All right. Get in touch with Ed over at TaylorMartino.com. You give a call. Heck, you can even, you know, shoot me an email. I'll get you the phone number as well. Ed, thanks for being in with us today.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
Ed Brown with Taylor Martino, and we're coming right back.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.